in a world that gets more mysterious every day, where government conspiracies and cover-ups are the norm, you need a beacon of truth. You need the Paranormal Patriot. And welcome back again to the Paranormal Patriot. I feel as if I'm beginning to sound like a broken record, but I'm going to say it again. Thank you. Thank you for staying with me. I'm sorry again last week I could not do a show, but it appears as if in Michigan, I don't know about the rest of the country or the world, but I know in Michigan there has become a viral outbreak. There is a viral outbreak out there that turns into bronchitis, and in some cases, including mine, pneumonia. And I have been sick literally since I think it was the week before Christmas. And it gives me about 2 weeks of just horrible feeling. I'll have a good couple days, and then it just comes right back. So I went back to the doctor again. He gave me some antibiotics. Did not sound too confident that it would help anything because this is viral. Said just take some medicine to ease it till it goes. It's running about 3 months, he said. So hopefully I'm on the tail end. So if you hear me stop and try and catch my breath, that's because I'm still having trouble taking a breath and I'm having trouble breathing at times. And of course, I still have my Donald Trump sniffles. I'll try to keep those to a minimum, but you may hear me sniffle every now and then. And again, I do apologize. But thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me. This is the Paranormal Patriot, and I am your host, always wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez. Now, before I begin the show, again, I've said it before, I'll say it again, my listeners are beyond amazing. The outpouring of support and prayers and good thoughts I had for my mother was overwhelming. So to those of you who took the time to send me those thoughts, those prayers, those good feelings, thank you. I told my family about it, and they couldn't believe it. And I said, I told you, I keep telling you guys, I have a great core group of listeners that are phenomenal, and they now understand. So not only do I thank you, but my family thanks you. So with this show, I began the show prep for this show this week. I was ready to go on a massive tirade. I don't know if it's because I was so tired of being sick or I'm just peeved off at the state of our country. But after literally sleeping on it, I decided to tone it down just a bit. I don't want to go off on this microphone turning into a raving lunatic. I've done it before, but I don't want to do it now because I don't think that's going to solve anything and it just turns me into one of these liberals. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to go soft. It just means that I'm not going to go bat stuff crazy or try not to. On this show, I am again going to discuss the presidency of Donald Trump. Now, there are so many topics that I could discuss on the presidency, but I'm going to try to trim it down to just a couple for you. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a break. We're going to sit back. We're going to relax. Take a deep breath. We will be right back, and we're going to see if I can actually keep my composure behind this mic. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot, and we will be right back. The upcoming segment on the Paranormal Patriot is being brought to you this time by Minds.com. Minds.com is the alternative to Facebook. If you are tired of the censorship of Facebook, you need to try Minds.com. Minds.com is the new social network that lets you speak your mind without fear of liberal-minded censorship. On top of that, you can make money by posting on Minds.com. You earn cash by your audience's monthly support or by your audience sharing their content. Try the new social media website on Minds.com and experience the future of social networking. You can find it at Minds.com. Okay, and thank you to Minds.com for your support. Now to begin this segment, it's been 2 weeks into a Donald Trump presidency, and I think it's safe to say chaos still reigns supreme. It seems that the left, the millennials, the snowflakes, the generally inconsolable who still have not come to grips with the fact that Donald Trump soundly defeated Hillary Clinton, they have a new reason to protest every single day. They had protested the inauguration. They protested every executive order he has signed, as well as protesting his Supreme Court nominee. Now let's start with the Trump immigration ban. The left is absolutely losing their ever-loving minds with this executive order. But let's look a little deeper at what exactly he is trying to accomplish. Now to begin with, I want to read to you from the United States Constitution, U.S. Code 1182, regarding inadmissible aliens. This code essentially proves that what he's doing is extremely constitutional, which I know the left has nothing to do with, but I want to read it to you because it drives home the point that not only do the left, but the media choose to look past this. So U.S. Code 1182 on inadmissible aliens from the United States Constitution. Section F, suspension of entry or imposition of restrictions by president. And it reads, whenever the president finds that the entry of any aliens or any class of aliens into the United States would be detrimental to the interests of the United States, he may, by proclamation and for such a period as he shall deem necessary, suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants, or impose on the entry of aliens any restrictions he may deem to be appropriate. So as you can see, Trump is well within his right to ban anyone entry into our United States. Now, the left will tell you that this is completely racist. What they and the media refuse to tell the people of this country is that this is in all actuality not a ban. It is a 120-day suspension in the processing of visa applications. This is intended to give our government the time to implement better vetting procedures. As it stood under the Obama administration, we basically had no vetting procedure. They would come up and we would simply ask them a question. Are you a terrorist? No. Well, then welcome to America. Enjoy yourself. Here's some free money from the taxpayers. Would you like free medicine, medical care? Would you like some free schooling? Here's a food stamp card. You can have all the food you want. Thanks to the American taxpayer. I see no issue ensuring that we are letting into our country only people that have good intentions. The suspension is not directed at Muslims, contrary to what the liberals and the media will say. It is directed at individuals from 7 designated countries. If Muslims were banned, Muslims in general, countries like Bangladesh and India, among others, would be included, but they are not. Around 90% of the world's Muslims are not affected. The only countries affected by this suspension, not a ban, are Iran, Iraq, Libya, Somalia, Syria, Sudan, and Yemen. However, the liberals are now outraged by Trump's actions. But much to their chagrin, they can thank their best president ever, Barack Obama, for paving the way to Donald Trump's executive order. Why is that, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. passed in 2015 with overwhelming bipartisan support was the Visa Waiver Program Improvement in Terrorist Travel Prevention Act. In December of 2015, Obama, yes, the same President Obama that the liberals, the snowflakes, the inconsolable wish was still in office, he signed that into law. This law required additional screening or security screening procedures on anyone traveling from Syria, Iraq, Iran, and Sudan. Then in February of 2016, the Department of Homeland Security added Yemen, Somalia, and Libya. Those are the same seven countries in Donald Trump's suspension. This is proof that this plan was put in place by the liberal savior, Barack Hussein Obama. So if Trump is guilty of anything, he's guilty of a lack of creativity. He essentially took the countries that Obama chose and copied and pasted them to his executive order. So where is the outrage? Where was the outrage when Obama did this? Well, there was none because the media barely covered it. But now Donald Trump signs an executive order doing the same thing. And actually not even that bad because it's only a 120-day suspension to get our ducks in a row. And the media is all over it. And that takes these millennials who have nowhere to go, can't handle reality, gives them an excuse to protest. But now, we all know I work in a conservative, pretty much conservative place of business, but I do have a couple liberals there. And we were talking about this, and this liberal's response was, well, what about the Syrian refugees, Tom? What are you going to do about them? Well, regarding the Syrian refugee crisis, I have my own opinion on that. And when I told this person that opinion, I literally saw his head explode. Now, my opinion, and I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of hate mail, a lot of grief over this, but my opinion is, I don't care. I don't care for the simple fact I don't want to let them in. I don't want to take the risk. It's not that I don't care about them, but to be completely honest with you and all my listeners, I care about my country and my family's safety more than somebody that is not even from this country. All you have to do regarding the Syrian refugee crisis, all you have to do is take a look at Europe for proof that taking in these refugees is a huge, and I mean huge, problem. All across Europe, lawlessness, violence, and rapes are skyrocketing due to the influx of Syrian refugees being allowed into so-and-so country. I am not willing to take that chance. I am a firm believer that we need to take care of our own before we take care of another country's cast-offs. How many homeless people do we have in this country? How many children go to bed hungry every night? And how many veterans will not get the help they need and deserve because the liberals, the snowflakes, the millennials feel we need to help other countries' people before we help our own. I look at this country in a different way than most people. I love my country. I really do. I have some issues with the political side of things, but as a country and as a population, I love my country. I look at this country as my family. And that's what everybody needs to look at. The United States is our family, the people of this country who are good people, the lawful, legal citizens of this country are my family. Look at your family. Are you going to forego the safety and the well-being of your family for a stranger? No, That would be ludicrous. So why? Why would I forego the safety of my family, my country, for someone who's not even from here? When I have people in this country, family members in this country, that are really struggling, I would want to take care of them first. I can't understand, and I've tried to wrap my brain around this. I can't understand the liberal logic on this. Why would you not take care of your own before taking care of essentially a stranger? This needs to change. It's time for our country to look out for its own before we even think of helping out another country. So when every veteran, every child that is hungry has food, and every homeless person is helped in this country, then, and only then, will I be open to helping these refugees. But even then, they need to have the proper vettings, the proper screenings, the proper security measures taken against them before they enter this country. The Democratic Party, who claims to be for the downtrodden and the less fortunate, should be all for this, right? They should be all for helping out the downtrodden people, the less fortunate people in our country. But they're going to say, no, let's help those people who are not even from this country. Screw everybody else. I don't get it, and I don't understand the logic on this. Somebody please help me figure this out. I know I have a growing number of liberals that listen to this show. I know because I get more and more hate mail from them every month. But if you're a liberal that listens to this show, please give me the logic. Please tell me why our country, myself, my listeners, because most of my listeners on this show are conservative and they feel the same way I do. But please tell me why we should forego our homeless people, our veterans, and our children to support and feed and house and clothe and take care of people who are not citizens of this country. Please give me the logic. Give me a logical explanation as to why, because I don't have one. I've asked the liberal, and this liberal, trust me, he is way beyond help. You know, he's all for Bernie in 2020. If Bernie is alive then, God bless him. But he is full-blown liberal, and he can't answer that. He says everybody needs to be helped. Yes, I agree with that. Everybody needs to be helped. But there is a tent city out in the Middle East that will house 3 million people. That is completely empty. It has food, it has water, it has public, or it has, what's the word I'm looking for? Running water, it has facilities for restrooms. That is empty. Nobody's there. Why are they not using this? Why do we have to support these refugees, these illegal immigrants, when we have people in our country that need help? So if you're a liberal, and I know you're out there because you send me hate mail every week, give me your reason why we should forego the people of this country and help those that are not from this country. So let's take a break, and when we come back, we are going to discuss the hypocrisy of the left regarding Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot, and we will be right back. All righty, thank you to Minds.com for the last segment. The next segment you're going to hear is being brought to you by ThePARANormalWarehouse.com. So we got a trend here. If you're looking for an alternative to Facebook, it's Minds.com. But if you are a paranormal enthusiast and you're looking for an alternative to Facebook, you need to go. The only place for you to go is ThePARANormalWarehouse.com. facebook.com. The Paranormal Warehouse is Facebook for the paranormal enthusiast. If you are looking for like-minded individuals who share your beliefs and who are looking to enhance their knowledge, you need to go to theparanormalwarehouse.com. All you need to do is go to paranormalwarehouse.com or find them on Facebook at the Paranormal Warehouse. The Paranormal Warehouse is just like Facebook. You can post pictures, you can post videos, you have groups, but the best part about it is everybody is involved in the paranormal. So if you are a fledgling paranormal group, if you are an experienced paranormal group, or if you are just somebody who is slightly interested, go on there, ask questions, get results, network. There is nothing better than to network when you're in the paranormal community. We are all in this for one reason: to get to the bottom of the paranormal enigma. So the only place that you need to go is theparanormalwarehouse.com. Again, you can reach them at paranormalwarehouse.com or find them on Facebook at The Paranormal Warehouse. All righty, welcome back to the Paranormal Patriot. Let's talk about Neil Gorsuch, who is the new Supreme Court nominee. Now, before I begin this segment, I want to preface it by saying that many attribute Donald Trump's rise to the presidency to his potential Supreme Court nominees. During the campaign, he vowed to nominate justices who ruled by the Constitution. And in my humble opinion, with Neil Gorsuch, he hit a monster home run. But yet, as Justice Gorsuch's words were still reverberating throughout the room, liberals vowed to block his nomination, claiming that he is far too radical and far too conservative. God forbid. But let's look back to 2006 when Neil Gorsuch was nominated to the federal courts. 12 current and 4 former senators supported his nomination, calling him superb, extremely knowledgeable, and more than qualified for the position, among other things. Again, 2006, these are Democrats that said he was superb, knowledgeable, more than qualified for the position. But now, before he even stopped speaking, they vowed to stop him. So let's talk and see who these senators were. You might know a couple of these names. How about Chuck Schumer, a Democrat from New York? Dianne Feinstein, a Democrat from California? Patrick Leahy, a Democrat from Vermont. Maria Cantwell, a Democrat from Oregon. Tom Carpenter, a Democrat from Delaware. Dick Durbin, a Democrat, I don't even know where he's from. Illinois, I think he is. Robert Menendez, a Democrat from New Jersey. Patty Murray, a Democrat from Washington. Bill Nelson, a Democrat from Florida. Jack Reed, a Democrat from Rhode Island. For all my Michigan listeners, Debbie Stabenow, a Democrat from Michigan, and Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon. Those are the current, who are still in office, senators who 10 years ago found this man more than competent, did not block him at all, to be on the federal courts. But there are still other senators that are no longer senators that have voiced their opposition to Neil Gorsuch. Those would be our friend Harry Reid, a Democrat from Nevada, who is no longer in the Senate, so he has no say. John Kerry, a Democrat from Massachusetts. What did you do, John? You pushed the Iran nuclear deal. How's that working out for you now that Iran is doing ballistic missile tests? Good call, Mr. Kerry. Joe Biden, the doofus vice president under Barack Obama. Oh, we might know this name. Hillary Clinton. Ha ha, you lost big time. And, oh, don't forget, Barack Hussein Obama gave him a superlative nomination, said this guy is phenomenal. Oh, but that was in 2006. 11 years later, they say, this guy is horrible. They found this guy had no faults. They let him go free and clear. Hey, you're nominated. You're awesome. Good job. That was in 2006. 2017, it's a little bit different. Now, most of, if all, have stated that he is too radical in his views to be behind the bench. Funny, didn't the Republicans say the same thing about Sonia Sotomayor? But when they said that, the Republicans were obstructionists for even thinking such a thing. But now, these Democrats that say he's too radical, oh, we can't say that, the media is right behind him, just repeating everything these senators say. He's too radical. Why? Why is he radical? Because he, God forbid, follows the Constitution? The law of the land? We're a nation of laws, people. We have a law. We have many laws that and they all around revolve around the Constitution. So the thought of having a judge on the Supreme Court that follows the Constitution, to me, my God, it makes perfect sense. To the liberals, that's heresy. That's horrible. That's right there. That is exactly the difference between conservatives, Republicans, and liberals. We know that we have a law of the land. We have a constitution that we need to follow. So for us to put a Supreme Court nominee up that follows the law of the land makes complete and perfect sense. To the liberals, absolutely not. Please tell me why. Again, I'm imploring my liberal listeners. You have all the time in the world to send me hate mail, to tell me how much I suck, to tell me how horrible I am, how horrible of a person I am. I even had one liberal. And no joke, guys, he wished my mother dead. He said, I'm glad your mom has cancer. That's one less conservative in this country. First off, you can die. I have no respect for you. I try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. But if you want to go and attack my mother, who has nothing to do with the show, you have no class, and you have no soul. Attack me. But all of you liberals out there, find time during the week to send me hate mail. Tell me why it is so bad to have somebody nominated that follows the Constitution.
Well, the Constitution's outdated and it's irrelevant.
No. Constitution made our country the greatest country in the world. The fact that we are slipping in that is because you liberals are vowing that we don't follow the Constitution. When we don't follow the Constitution is when we fail. Anyway, I want you to know, my listeners, there comes a time in every country's existence that it has to decide to move forward and grow as a country or fall into oblivion and become a footnote in history. Ladies and gentlemen that are listening to the show, this is our time. The future freedoms, values, and culture of this country rest in the process of Neil Gorsuch attaining the Supreme Court. Right now, it's literally a 4-4 split. There are 4 conservatives and there are 4 liberals. Now, in some cases, it's 5-3, depending on what side of the bed John Roberts woke up on that particular day, but we won't get into that. This can change. And when I say this, I mean the nomination of Neil Gorsuch. This can change the course of our country back to the right direction. Back to the direction of a constitutional country. Back to a direction of a lawful country where we follow the rule of law and we don't make laws from the bench. In my opinion, Mitch McConnell has to use the nuclear option to ensure Gorsuch is nominated. The left will scream bloody murder if it's used, but remember, it was Harry Reid who first used it. In his words, and this is a quote from Harry Reid when he used the nuclear option, this isn't about Republicans versus Democrat. This is about Washington, or making Washington work, regardless of who's in the White House or who controls the Senate. Those are the words by Harry Reid when he used the nuclear option. Mitch McConnell needs to grow a set and use the nuclear option, because it's not about Republicans versus Democrat. It's about what is making Washington work, regardless of who's in the White House or who controls the Senate. What's good enough for the goose is good enough for the gander, right, Mr. Reid? Whoo, sucks to be you. But remember, as stated by the newly elected President Obama to John McCain, I'll never forget this. He stood there and chastised him and said, hey, elections, they have consequences. They sure do, Barack. And now the American people have spoken. And they have chosen who they want to lead this country. So you need to shut up. You need to just fall back into the limelight, or fall away from the limelight. Be like every other president and keep quiet. Don't fan the flames of anarchy. When President Obama came out and said, hey, I love what you're doing out there, keep protesting, I'm sorry, the first thing I thought of was, this guy's inciting riots. Because these guys, these protesters are not protesting, they're rioting. So is or is it not President Obama inciting a riot? But listen, while President Trump, and I love saying that, President Trump, while he was nominating Neil Gorsuch, there were people outside protesting the nomination. Ladies and gentlemen, they had no idea who Donald Trump was going to protest or was going to nominate. These protesters had no clue. If you listen to some of the pundits who say, oh, Donald Trump's just a liberal in disguise, Donald Trump could have threw a complete 180 and nominated a complete liberal onto the Supreme Court. The problem is, these protesters would have protested him, because they have no idea who Donald Trump was nominating. And even if he did nominate a liberal, they wouldn't know who they are. So they're going to protest a nominee who stood for their beliefs. Now, granted, he didn't, but that's the stupidity, the ridiculousness of these protesters. They're just going to protest regardless of what Donald Trump does. Donald Trump could open up the borders to everybody, and they'd find a reason to protest it. This is the mentality of the left. Complete anarchy. And for Barack Obama to praise the anarchists, and don't tell me they're protesters now, because they've gone beyond that. I've said it many, many times. I believe in your right to protest. Please protest. But the minute you start to burn, destroy, and become violent, you've gone beyond a protester. You've become a rioter, an anarchist. And you deserve to be arrested. And you deserve to lose your right to vote. How's that for irony? You're protesting and rioting against someone who was voted in that you didn't want, but because of your ridiculous actions, you lose the right to vote. Ah, that's irony. I love irony. So Neil Gorsuch is our hope to take encounter John Roberts, who, John Roberts, God love him, I don't understand the guy at all. I don't understand his thinking. He says he's a conservative. He doesn't vote conservative values most of the time. I don't understand it. So Neil Gorsuch will counter that. And I said it before the election. The Supreme Court, whoever gets in, will change the history of this country for the next generation.
And a lot of people voted for Trump because of that. And he came through by nominating a complete conservative constitutionalist. And if Mitch McConnell has any cojones, if there's any thought that this guy isn't going to be nominated, nuclear, do it. It was good enough for the Democrats. So now, elections have consequences. They sure do. Now, before I end the show, I want to briefly discuss what is happening in a city that where I live and where I work. This could and does apply to everyone around us, though. Everybody around this country, and I apologize to my international listeners, you may be dealing with this, but I'm not hip on international laws. I don't know what they call them, but I know in our country, they're called sanctuary cities. Now, I live just outside of Lansing, and I work even closer to Lansing. But the mayor of Lansing, Michigan, which is my state's capital, has begun the process of turning the city into a sanctuary city. The city council has approved this measure, knowing full and well that they risk losing $6.5 million in federal funding. Now, in the past, it would be threatened, but they'd get it. They'd get that $6.5 million. However, with Donald Trump, I feel pretty confident in saying, look, if you're gonna push back against Trump, he's gonna push harder. He has all the power, baby. Lansing will lose $6.5 million in federal funding. So I have to ask the question, who is the mayor and the city council serving? It's definitely not their constituents who vehemently deposed becoming a sanctuary city and losing $6.5 million. If you're in Michigan or anywhere near know about Lansing, you know Lansing is kind of struggling. They are not doing well. They need $6.5 million from the feds. However, the mayor and the city council think, I don't need it. Our citizens obviously don't need it. Let's make this a sanctuary city. It's obvious that they are serving themselves by placing their own political beliefs above the city's well-being, as well as the citizens of Lansing, Michigan. They're placing their beliefs above their well-being. No practical politician would forego the future of their city and their citizens for the sake of their political beliefs. But that is exactly what is happening across the country. It is unconscionable. Did these mayors not take an oath of office to protect and provide for their citizens, foregoing federal funding for a political gain, is, in my opinion, a terminable offense. If you are in a city where the mayor of that city says, I don't care what Donald Trump says, we're going to become a sanctuary city. You will. There is no doubt in my mind you will be losing federal funding. Donald Trump is not going to take any crap from these guys or women. So Boston, Chicago, San Francisco, LA, Lansing, Ann Arbor, Detroit, wherever you are, if your mayor is telling the citizens of that county, of that city, we're going to be a sanctuary city, it's in the best interest of this city. No, it's not. It absolutely is not, because A, you're going to lose funding from the feds. Gone. Where are you going to make up $6.5 million other than tax the living daylights out of your citizens? The people that are coming in to that city are not intelligent enough to hold a job in that city. So they're going to be a drain on the entitlement system of that city. They're going to be on food stamps. They're going to need housing. They're going to need free food or medical care. So where do you think that's going to come from? That's going to come from the paying citizens who pay taxes in your city. The current tax rate will not pay for that, so you're going to have to raise taxes to pay for the illegal immigrants coming into that city.
So now you've got an increased tax rate. You're missing $6.5 million in federal funding. Who is going to pay for it? It's not attainable. You can't make it up. But my biggest issue is that these sanctuary cities are essentially cities where these illegal immigrants can hide out. In, for lack of, I guess, better terminology, they have more rights than actual citizens who were born in this country. They can do whatever they want. They get free health care, they get free food, they get free schooling because they came here illegally. How does that make sense? This is my last plea to my liberal listeners. Please tell me how that makes sense. You are forcing the taxpayers of your city to fit the bill, to foot the bill of these illegals that you are more than welcome to bring in. Come on in, we'll take you. And what are you doing? All you are doing is you're just going against Donald Trump because you don't like his policies. Well, it's not up to you to make that call. It's up to the citizens of your city. If your city says, yes, we want to be a sanctuary city, then fine. They know they're going to lose whatever federal funding they get. They know that these immigrants coming in are not going to be qualified for any type of position in any job. So therefore, they're going to have to be on federal, or they're going to have to be get free housing, free food, free medical care, and free schooling. And that is the problem. Even though the word free is in front of it, it ain't free. Who's paying for it? The taxpayers. So you lose federal funding and your taxes are going to have to increase. Good call. Great call. The time is coming where people are going to start realizing that this doesn't make sense. My leader, my mayor, my governor, whatever it has got a political grudge against the president of the United States, so he's going to forego my benefit, my betterment, in order to just jab at the president. No, we will be a sanctuary city. Well, the problem is Donald Trump just doesn't care what anybody thinks. You want to be a sanctuary city? Fine. Here goes your federal funding. You're gone. So, $6.5 million is for Lansing. How many other sanctuary cities are out there? Who knows? But take all that money that Donald Trump is not going to pay them. Two things are going to happen. Either that goes into the federal coffers. Hey, there's a surplus of money. Or that goes to the other cities that are compliant to say, no, we're going to take care of our citizens first. Screw the illegals that come here illegally. Keyword, illegally. Before I end the show, I want all of my listeners, liberal, conservative, independent, to know I am not against immigration. By any means. My grandfather came here from Greece in 1906. My grandmother's family came here from Canada by way of England in the 1800s. The difference is they came here legally. When my grandpa came here, he came to Ellis Island and came right to Michigan, Saginaw, Michigan. And it was his goal to learn the language. And he did. He learned the language. But on top of that, he went to work. And he worked hard. Hard enough that he owned many businesses. He was a very successful man because he worked hard. He didn't have the government helping him out. He knew that the American dream was to come to this country, and if you worked hard, you would achieve your goals. You would achieve your dreams. He became an American citizen by doing what needed to be done. In this day and age, You come into this country illegally. You don't have to work because the government will pay you for everything you ever need. And screw that. I'm not going to become a citizen. That costs money. So I'll just become a documented alien. I'm sorry. What made America great was the immigrants coming together for a common cause, and that was to be part of the American dream. And when you came to America, you automatically became an American. You weren't an African American, you weren't a Mexican American, you weren't a Japanese American, you were an American. Those days are gone. Unfortunately. And that is one of the biggest reasons why our country is in decline. We have no identity anymore. We were a melting pot of many different nations, cultures, religions. But the difference was when they came here back in the 1800s and early 1900s, they identified themselves as Americans. You could still practice your religion. We didn't care. But you followed American customs. You followed the culture of America. You didn't come here like they do today and not learn the language. You didn't come here today expecting a government handout. And you didn't come here like they do today and expect our culture, our American culture, to conform and change to your culture. It just didn't happen. It shouldn't happen. But that is what's going on today. The good news is I think those days are changing. Say what you want about Donald Trump. And look, the guy is going crazy with executive orders. I understand that. There's a lot of people that don't like him. But the difference is we now have a president that stands for America. America. Not the conglomeration of this culture, this culture, this culture. We'll just call it America. No, he stands for America. He knows what made America great. He knows how to make America great again. And he will do it. If there's anything this man has proved in his 2 weeks or 2 months that he's been elected president, this man will get results. So for you liberals out there, you better sit back, buckle in, and go along for the ride because it ain't going to stop. He doesn't care what you think. He doesn't care about public opinion. He doesn't care about the media, what they'd say about him. Big difference. Every other president was concerned about their poll numbers. They were concerned about their approval numbers. How much did people like them? Donald Trump doesn't care. He knows that half of America is going to fight him tooth and nail. But he also knows what is best for this country. And I like that. Because what he thinks is best for this country are my thoughts on what I think is best for this country. All right, we're going to end the show. It's over. It's done. It's going to be a little short show today. But next week, I plan on being on the mic. I want to talk to you about a subject that is getting a lot of momentum. I won't spill the beans right now, but it will be a very, very interesting show. I've already started the show prep on it, so I hope you enjoy it. But thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for your support on my health. My mother's health, except to you freaking liberal that wished my mother dead. Oh, I wish I could find you. Anyway, sorry, I'm a little sensitive on that subject. But anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. Thank you for staying with me. I hope I'm getting through the end of this illness, that I can be with you every week. And any questions, any concerns, any comments, contact me at theparanormalpatriot@zoho.com. or contact me on Facebook. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.